from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast. They're coming to you recording in a button-down shirt. I rarely do that. But in this case, it's I don't know what color this is, like a seafoam with pretzels on it. So they kind of disqualify. They say, well, that kind of cancels out. There's pretzels on your shirt. It cancels the buttons right out. And, you know, I'm here to cancel those buttons that may keep you awake, whether they're, you know, physical, figurative, or metaphorical, or, you know, whatever it is. I'm here to help. I mean, this is time, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if you could just listen through the credits, because these are the ways we keep the show going. Or if you want an ad-free version, just become a patron. sleepwithmepodcast.com/patron. Thanks. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now, if the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone, because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, I want to just thank a couple of people. As far as sponsors recently, I want to thank Kay and Kay's future partner who signed up at Zola. They started their free wedding website and got $50 off their registry by going to zola.com/sleep. And also, they're in love. So if you're planning a wedding or any kind of ceremony coming up, use our link. Zola makes it super easy, zola.com/sleep. And I also want to thank Leonardo, who shared with me on Facebook. Leonardo put an order in at Cushy CBD, one of our newest sponsors. And you can go to cushycbd.com/sleep or use sleep20 at checkout to get 20% off your first purchase, just like Leonardo did. Thanks so much, Kay and Leonardo, for sharing and supporting the sponsors. Mystery Bard, a lot of people work very hard to keep this podcast going. Who are they?
This posty poster song sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Carl W. the Legend
also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer
are on a run,
Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies.
Got a new album out.
I think you really like it.
You can get a copy at
JonathanMann.net.
Also, I made a longer version
of this credits song.
You see the kindness shine straight on through. Listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance,
dance
to be part of Night Vale Presents. Oh, now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. Great way to keep in touch with, find out about stuff around the show. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's things you're thinking about, thoughts. It could be feelings that you're experiencing or that are bubbling up. It could be physical sensations. Whatever's keeping you awake. It could be changes, you know, time, temperature, whatever it is. I'd like to take your mind off that. I'd like to distract you. I've got a safe place here. I've got a space set aside for you. Plenty of room. And it's cozy, but there's, you know, room to lounge, to stretch out. Exactly. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. If you're new, a couple of things. This podcast is not it's outside of the norm. If there is any norms, we say, okay, here's like podcasting's a pretty open space. You can kind of do everything. And that's what's great about this space. But this, even for a podcast, a little bit different. So I would say, kind of try to give it, you don't need to have an open mind. There's nothing that gets on my nerves more than when somebody tells me to have an open mind. I think it's great if you check the show out, healthy skepticism, but also with a quizzical, maybe you have a quizzical look on your face. You could be skeptical and quizzical at the same time. Where, because figuring out this podcast is where it can trip people up, or waiting for it to start making sense, or even to get started. We're already started here. Welcome, come on in. So it's not going to, I think that's kind of, I'm glad you're here if you're new. I guess that's what I'm shooting for, is to put you in a quizzical mood. I think that maybe that'll be, if I had like a jazz, if I was a jazz singer, like the Silvertone is, I think that would be like an album I would put out, a quizzical mood. And I don't know if I'd have, like, it would probably be good to have someone like Bublé come in and do a track, but I don't know if I'd want Bublé stealing my thunder as far as, like, singing a quizzical mood. Of course, I can't sing, so that's a... but if you're new, here's a couple other things if you're new. So the podcast doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It takes a few tries. It does not work for everybody, but I hope it works for you. So see how it goes. Structurally, if you're new, here's what to expect. There's a business at the beginning, and that's how we keep the show going and free, and it's high quality. You know, believe it or not, there's a lot of work that goes into the show, and I say that with a smile because the goal is to put a lot of work in, so it seems like there's no work. But that's not super important, but that's how we keep the show going, as a business at the beginning. Then there's an intro. And if you're new, it might throw you off, because the intros are around 12 minutes of me, I guess 12 minutes of me explaining what the intro is, and then kind of trying to explain what the podcast is. And like a few percentage of people skip ahead to just go to the story. Tonight will be our ongoing episodically modular series, Big Farm in the Sky, P.I., the Phantom Minnow. What was my point? So you could skip ahead to like 18 or 20 minutes if you're just looking for the story, or our patrons get story only episodes. Like most people, just a small percentage of people, a lot of people fall asleep during this intro or get ready for bed or start their wind down. And so that's kind of the intro. It's like the show is slow to start because, I want to ease you into bedtime. Also, I never have figured out how to efficiently make a podcast, explain things, or I'm still trying to figure out exactly how this whole sleep podcast thing works. So those are some other reasons why I don't effectively get to the point of explaining what the show is. So let's see. So that's trying to think what else. Oh, structurally. So there'll be the intro's 12 minutes or so, sometimes 14, sometimes 16. Then there's a business just between the intro and the story. Then there's a bedtime story. Then there's some thank yous at the end. So it's the structure of the show. Also, you don't need to listen to me. No pressure at all. I'm here to help you fall asleep. So I'm here to keep you company and to take your mind off stuff while you drift off. So you could do so at your leisure, but you could turn me down to a mumble. As a review I recently read said, kind of like you could put me like just far enough away that it sounds like some TV is on in another room. Or you could listen. I'll be here to keep you company, but in a very circuitous and meandering way. But you don't need to listen or really remember or feel like you have any FOMO, because you could just listen tomorrow or at another time. Or just listen to, just sleep and then move on to the next episode. So there's no pressure to listen. Here's the other thing. No pressure to fall asleep. I make this show because I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a life where you can flourish and be treated with dignity and respect, even in your internal relationship with yourself. I think my tongue's having a little, creating a little wrinkle in my own internal relationship. What do you not? My tongue's refusing to touch the upper palate of my mouth for some reason. But, no pressure. Oh, no pressure to listen. Oh, no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour. And the reason the shows are an hour is twofold. One, it gives you plenty of time to fall asleep, so there's no pressure. And you could queue up as many episodes as you need. And you can just drift off as I talk about stuff. And the other side of it is, though, if you can't sleep, if you're up and you get something on your mind, or you just don't know why you can't sleep, or you do know why, I'm here. I'm here to keep you company throughout the night if you need it. That's one of the reasons I work so hard on this podcast and make the episodes complete. Is for those of you that can't sleep. I'm here. I'm here to be a voice, to be your boar friend, to be your boar bae, your boar bud, your boar sib, your boar cuz, your boar bestie. And in some paradoxical way, I'm here to be your boar bestie, whether you're awake or asleep, whether you need me talking to you, or whether you need me talking near you and you're not, it's just a chatter, or you just need me to set it up and you lay it down. You know what I'm saying? So I'm here to help. That's why I make this podcast, is because I've been there. I know what it feels like. And I believe, that while this doesn't fix everything, this podcast doesn't work for everybody. That a little friendship, a little companionship, a little bit of goofing around, maybe it can help. And I mean, again, you're talking about somebody who makes a sleep podcast, who after I'm done recording, I'm going to have to sit down with my tongue in my upper palate and talk it out. And I say, we're living a pun now, because what's going on with you two? And then I would have to also sit with the tongue and say, well, I'm not going to speak on behalf of the upper palate. And did you just hear that? I tried to prevent myself from sighing at my own. I'd say, okay, well, you two are meant to work together. You out of all my body, you do live in the same facility. Okay, my mouth just said, we're not a facility. Again, it was just a figurative term, but you're part of a team there, and I'd like it if you two, you don't have to get along, but I think you two, maybe you just both need a nap when I'm done recording this, obviously, and I'll snuggle you. I don't think, to be honest, maybe it is my fault. I have used, I have given you, I've brushed you both, And I've looked at you both in the mirror, but now lately, you're right, I haven't looked at you two, all of you in the mirror. I haven't said, for the pleasure of doing it, for the pleasure of seeing both of you in all of your glory. And I haven't taken the time to say, to wonder, are taste buds visual? Is that what I'm looking at, taste buds? And then to imagine, you know, your, like, your upper palate or whatever, I don't even know what you, like, you know, to play imagination games with you, pretend we're exploring, you know, maybe we're in a whale. I know, I love role play of famous characters trapped in whales. That's one of my number one things. So I'm sorry, I guess I'm apologizing. Also, if anybody knows what the difference between the roof of your mouth is and your upper palate, just parts of the wonderful things in that great facility I call my mouth. The great team, one of the most famous teams known to me, the mouth. Of course, you're part of the greater head community. Oh, boy, and yes, you are unappreciated. Holy, let me validate that because it's true. I only need to validate it because it's true, not because I'm invalidating things so that we could move on with the podcast intro. Oh, no, you two and all of you have not been appreciated. Holy moly, and just in a loving way. You're right, to be noticed, to be seen, to say, hey there, uvula or whatever, you know, whatever you got, you know, the things I can't spell within my mouth. Sure, I should open my mouth and ponder if there is a lower palate. I assume there is, if there's an upper one. Yes, I should roll you up and look on. Oh boy, those are things I'm going to be doing later. But maybe, hopefully soon, you and my listeners will be, you know, however, you know, did you know that the world, I don't know if it's as you everybody holds their mouth in a unique way while they sleep, but, you know, hopefully this will be slack-jawed in a good way. Hopefully we'll be slack-jawed later. Maybe drooling. Be great. That would really be like you would be working as a team. Just chilling out. So all credit, by the way, if you listen to this podcast, two parts of my mouth and greater head community that just haven't gotten the attention they deserve, really essential parts, the upper palate, possibly, I assume if it's what I think it is, it's an essential part of the show. And one of the hardest of working muscles and, you know, are you an organ or what? How about we get the tongue and Pluto on the same page and say, the tongue is an organ. No, you don't need that much attention. Well, you're the hardest working, you know, thing that enables me to communicate in lulling, soothing tones. Okay, I don't have time. Vocal cords, I'm sorry. I can only heal so many. I'll give you, believe me, I'm gonna gargle, holy gargling. The amount of gargling I'm going to do for all of you. Oh, do you all love gargling? Okay, well, there's something we can all agree on. Okay, just the exact right amount of salinity, though, of course. Yeah, of course, of course. So, we'll get the perfect temperature that all of you are happy with. I got to get back to the podcast listeners, though. Well, that took an interesting turn. If you're new, that's what kind of happens every intro in a different way. Here's a little something I like to say. It's like, you know, it might not have made any sense, but you could take your mind off whatever was keeping you awake. That's kind of how the whole podcast works. So if you're new, give it a few tries. I really want to help. I'm really glad you're here. And I work very hard because I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of our ongoing serial series. What's the name of it? Big Farm in the Sky, PI, Phantom Minnow. It's an ongoing episodically modular series, which means you can kind of listen to it in any order. And on top of that, I'll catch you right up with everything you might need to know right now. So you might ask yourself, Scoots, this is my first time listening. Give me the premise. What's going on? Where are we? Who are the characters? And then when you're done with that, ideally you'll have time left over to tell the episode story. And I would say sure too. So this Big Farm in the Sky PI season 2, season 1's out there for your perusing if you want to listen. And of a couple years back, season 2 is the story of three characters that are central to our stories: Simon, G, you could spell it G-E-E, and D-K. Simon is an uncle of G, and kind of an uncle in theory to D-K. Simon passed from an earthly life to a life, post-earthly life, a while back. And Simon is a resident of the Big Farm in the Sky. Season 1, Simon was the Big Farm in the Sky P.I., Now, season 2, a couple other things you might need to know about Simon. That not every person that transitions from the earthly life, I don't know what's in store for everybody. And I don't know, because I have limited, knowledge of the Big Farm post-earthly life. I'm still here. At least part of me is. But Simon has the ability to CSPER, or dust, but like he can visit earthly people and communicate with them. He can appear physically and auditorily. That's a very rare thing. That's why that's still not it's a rare thing. We'll just say that. Simon is good, clearly. Now, Simon's niece, G, and her best friend, DK, they're earthly residents. They're tweens, I think, or post-tween. I think they're still tweens. And they know Simon exists. Simon interacts with them. Season 1, they all solved mysteries in the Big Farm. So Simon would get advice from DK and G. Season 2, here's great news. G and DK proposed to their school, hey, we're going to do independent study this semester. We're going to start our own investigation biz at DK's Aunt Penny in Florida at the largest retirement community that I know about, the Towns. And so G and DK said, well, with the help of Simon, we could figure out some mysteries here in the earthly realm and help people, say, great, thanks for finding out, why my cat was coughing up hairballs that weren't there. It turns out they were just airballs. That's not an actual mystery. That's just an example. Now, Simon, meanwhile, I guess it's kind of, this is why it's episodically modular. Simon had his PI business bought by a larger company in the Big Farm and got a job there. And the details are hazy on that. Simon also started another hobby of a comic called the Phantom Minnow that we'll find out more about in this episode, a little bit of where's the Phantom Minnow? I thought that was the title of the season. And I would say, well, ask, we'll find out about it a little bit. But so Simon is helping his niece, helping them solve mysteries here in the big farm. I mean, not the big farm. Simon from the big farm is helping G and DK solve mysteries in a place that prepares people for the big farm, Florida. So I think that's it. Here's our celebrity, celebrity, I forget what I call you, friend, statesperson, and all-around great guy, Antonio Banderas, everybody. Thank you. The ladies, the gentlemen, the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary. It's time for the big farm in the sky. Season 2 Phantom, the Phantom Minnow. Let's crack this case. Yeah. Wow, that was a long, yeah, that was good, but it like, almost sounded like the second half of it almost sounded like opening a thermos or something. Or drop, like, how I'd imagine, it, like, an echo down a metal tube, a really long metal tube. But it was good. It was just, also maybe, like, it was interesting. It's good to see you. I don't know if everybody knows, it's New Year's Day when we're recording this. And I didn't know if you had any New Year's resolutions you wanted to share with the audience, like being more quiet when you're sitting waiting for me to finish recording, shifting, you know, being more internal and external stillness, not slurping water, not getting caught in traffic, like when you're driving from LA to the Bay Area for free to do an announcement on a podcast with no apparent benefit for you. My friend, other than playing Munchkin with my friend. Okay, yeah. Maybe use, I don't know, I don't even know, we don't talk about finances, you know, but maybe using your, maybe saying, creating a, like, a, you know, you give me some dough. Any New Year's resolutions like that? My friend, I do have a New Year's resolution. Not on the mic, but when I see you, I want to make sure you know how happy I am to see you, not to be thinking about other things or other places, the past, present, to say, holy cow, this is my Munchkin buddy. We're going to play Munchkin after he makes me do this thing for his lovely listeners. So when I see you, I would like my face to light up, even if it's, and then I say, well, I'm a little down because it took me 14 hours to get here. So that's my New Year's resolution. Thank you. It's time for Big Farm in the Sky PI. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Whew, that was great. Would you feel strange if I took you're looking at me like you're not glad to see me, but if I repurpose your, or not appropriate, I guess, your New Year's resolution, and like just copy your, my friend, I'd be honored. Okay, that's Antonio Banderas, everybody. This is Big Farm in the Sky PI, Phantom Minnow. Hey, Diane, it's Simon here. I got to update Diane. It's been a little while since I've updated you. It's kind of an out of sorts update, Diane. I'm out of sorts. That's my update. TLDR. Diane, that used to be a couple of years ago. That stood for too long, don't read, Diane, or TLDL. Too long, don't listen. But here's a couple of updates. Small things, procrastination, Diane. My ideas for the Phantom Minnow are non-existent. I may be blocked, or I may be stuck, or I might just not be up to the task of being a comic, like, just because I had the idea, Diane. I'm not exactly sure that I can deliver on it. So I got that news, Diane, which is, I don't know. I mean, maybe I got to find another pastime. And I guess maybe helping GNDK, if I look at it like a way of helping and something to do that I enjoy very much, usually. Yeah, but that's not going great either. And I mostly feel for GNDK, Diane. Yeah, because they've had three cases, very public mysteries that they were not able to solve. It was the shopping carts with wheel locks that keep locking up. That one, oh no, it's without wheel locks. So that's it, but they weren't able to figure it out, Diane. And I didn't help. The French bread that tasted sour, like sourdough, that was another one, Diane. And finally, the last case they tried to crack was the house where rain never fell. And all three ended up unresolved. They worked very hard. We worked very hard. And we couldn't get to solutions. Now, GNDK, they do have pretty healthy boundaries. So I said, well, we can't solve this. Especially, Diane, you know, we don't talk about this in public. But, you know, detectives and private eyes kind of have a code that the answer, you know, if it's a mystery, the answer can't just be, oh, it's just a person, or, oh, it's just an incorrect observation, or, oh, chaos theory, or, oh, that's random, or, oh, it's an enigma, freak event. Those aren't accept, you know, and then you start quoting Malcolm Gladwell. It's a slippery slope. You know, you say, well, you're taking Malcolm Gladwell quotes out of context, or the other Malcolm from Jurassic, you know, Jurassic Malcolm. And you put those in, and you say, well, this is the nature of chaos. We don't know why. And they say, okay, well, that's not a solution. And, you know, where's it tied up in a bow? That's how PIs work. You know, if you want repeat word of mouth business. And it's also satisfactory to us, you know, knowing the answer. Rain didn't fall at that house because I don't know. There's I don't know. We couldn't figure that one out. And we said, well, what about fans? What about wind? So most of the townies, though, and that's townies, Diane, not townies. It kind of sounds the same, but it's a nice way of them referring to each other. They all took it with in stride. They loved GNDK. And so they said, great job, kids. Let us pat you on the back. Just kind of treating them, I guess, a little bit talking down, like they'd skinned their knee or something instead of not being able to crack a case. But, Diane, I am concerned because as strong as GNDK are, as proud as they are and as grounded, where they say, well, we can't solve this case. We're only here for a semester. We got to move on to another one. Also, those were generalized cases. They didn't have a, those were like area mysteries, lore, even like the podcast, but different, they didn't have someone say, hey, can you crack this case for me? Unpaid. So, I don't know. They stopped. But this one, I think, has got them a bit down. It's got me down, Diane. And maybe even some tension between the two of them. I saw them snickering, maybe even bickering with one another. You know, they do take time alone, so that's good. But, you know, Diane, as much as I look up to them, they are kids. And I just wonder if it's too much. You know, maybe they should just be having fun, doing more playing. I mean, they do that, but they take the school days portion very seriously. But this is the path they chose too, Diane, so I have to respect that. By the way, also, we tried to find something with the Phantom Minnow to solve all those three things, but no dice. So that's another reason why I'm frustrated with myself, because the Phantom Minnow hasn't even come in handy. Yeah, I mean, I floated around. I said, why wouldn't the rain fall? And then we said, is this the house? Are we sure this is the house? That makes it hard to crack a mystery, Diane. When they say, well, this is what they, and they say, okay, well, maybe this is chaos theory then. But we've agreed to try one more of these mysteries. Because we don't have any customers. You say, well, we don't have any customers because we can't crack any cases. But this one we're going to work on. But we're also stuck, Diane, again. So that's why I said, oh, three cases. This is the fourth. I'm meeting them right now. Hey, G. Hey, DK. No, yeah, I was talking. Diane. I looked, like, so I did go into the Phantom Minnow mode last night, and I didn't see any big farm trains. Any, is that diaphanous? Can a train be diaphanous if it's from the big farm or another post-Earth world? But anyway, I didn't see any trains at night. I did hear the train whistle, but I said, is that the real train? So I'm sorry, I didn't see any trains last night. Can we go over it again? What we're trying to figure? Yeah, for Diane. Yeah, for Diane, and for me, just so I get one more understanding of it. What we're looking for. Well, I know we don't know what we're looking for, but what we're looking for to look for. Okay, I know you're frustrated. I know I'm frustrated. I'm not sure how the two of you are feeling, but I'm just trying to find like a starting place so then we can figure out what tools to use. Okay, so there's the woo-woo of the trains at night, I couldn't figure out if it's a real train, a model train, a train sound, or a train from post-Earth realm. So that's one place it doesn't matter anyway. Well, no, I mean, it would help me, I guess that's where we're, okay, never mind, forget the whole thing. No, I understand, I would love to, I can see how you feel like we're wasting our time, because we don't have a clear, like, all the model train clubs are going to lose, because this one actually has a real consequence if we don't crack it. If these trains, the model railroad clubs are being blamed for this, and if we don't get the case solved, they lose, every model train club here in the towns will lose their club, and the sound effects clubs, they said, are next if the model train clubs don't clear this up. And, all model train usage will be banned, which is, it seems like extreme measures, so I don't think we are wasting, I'm just trying to get us focused, basically. I think it does matter. I think you are good at solving cases. We've just had a streak of mysteries we haven't been able to solve. I don't think you are overconfident. No, you didn't get lucky in previous cases. You worked hard. Then we didn't get lucky in four cases in a row. Unlucky. Okay, no, I don't think you took it as a sign you knew what you were doing. I think that's kind of, that may be how you're feeling about things, which is understandable. I don't think you'd be better served cleaning out closets and garages and gutters for money. I think we have this case in front of us. We haven't had a lot of luck. This case is a bit confusing and confounding. But cleaning out armoires, bureaus, garages, boxes. I don't know if that's good. Spare bedrooms. Yeah, those aren't your mysteries. That's not why you're here. I don't see it as you two giving up. You could choose to do that, and that could be your business for your independent study. Oh, you're realists. I think you're young to be a realist. No offense, but I don't think realism and youth are meant to go that's my opinion. You're right, correct about that. No, I don't think you're not qualified to solve mysteries. Anyone's qualified that tries and succeeds. And as a matter of fact, you've been paid as private eyes. So you've cracked more cases here than you haven't. Why don't you look at it like that? Well, I know your kids, but that doesn't change anything. I mean, like, think about Encyclopedia Brown. Or think about Big Nate, Fancy Nancy. All the other, you know, all those other kid detectives, well, they're fictional. Okay, what about Sherlock? You know, maybe you should be solving kids' cases. No, I think adult cases are just fine. Oh, you just want to enjoy. Okay, that's a reasonable decision. If you want to just enjoy your time here. I guess part of me is torn because I'm also worried because I'm not having a lot of luck with this Phantom Minnow comic or, you know, going back to the big farm where I have a job that I haven't been to and I don't know, not even clear how time works over there. Like, I'm tempted, maybe I'm trying to hold on to this dream of us, three of us working together here in the towns. Maybe I'm holding, you know, but... I don't know. I mean, friendship and your friendship is more important than mystery. You're correct about that. Maybe it's just a matter of, you know, not everything's a success, right? And this, you may take like experience has to be built up. So maybe these cases where you gaining experience, that will help on this case or the next case. Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions. Did you try very hard to solve these cases? Yes. Did you work all the angles you possibly could? Okay. Is it just about trying hard, though? No. Have any of the kids in any of the kid detective cases faced any cases like those? Or a situation like this where they, like, had a string of... letdowns, and then I'm sure there was Encyclopedia Brown calls it quits, unless I'm misremembering, which I tend to do, or inventing. What's my point? Well, I'm just trying to figure out. Okay, let me ask you one more set of questions, and then you can make your decision. What are the core principles of being a good private eye, a good detective? Okay, one second. I'm not like when you have no clues, like how you solve a mystery, no tools, no experience. Like, where would you start? Like, if there was a kid detective, like one of you had a younger sibling and they were going to start solving mysteries, where would you have them start? Core principles you would teach them. Like all the great, like stuff that all the great detectives share. See things as they are. Okay, what you say? Okay, that's great, DK. We're not as we want them to be, whereas we're worried they are, or think they are. Okay, G, you had another one. Re-examine. DK, you working as a team here, even answer, re-examine your assumptions and beliefs, misconceptions, projections. Oh, be in the present. What did you say, DK? Get rid of all, get rid of all your darlings. Send them to the big farm. Big farmify all your darlings. What are darlings? Like things, ideas you hold on to tightly. Conception. Okay, got you. Okay, let's take a breath here then. How are you two kind of seeing things are you seeing things as you wish they are? Or that, with solving the cases, or as you're worried they are? Yeah. Word, you can't solve a case and you won't ever solve one again. Okay, that's how you're seeing things as you worry they are. As you wish they are, you wish you solved all the cases. Okay. Oh, that F-A-I-L word. Yeah, it's a strong word. What assumptions are you making? What are you assuming? What are you making asses out of you and me of that you missed it? Clues are an easy answer. That's a good assumption. I mean, it's a reasonable assumption, but it's good that you said it's an assumption, that you missed clues. Okay, what are the darlings, DK, that we should send to the big farm right now? What are darlings to a PI solving the case? Correct. That is, that's, I guess, also, that is a darling of mysteries, that they should be solved. Correct. That it can be solved. Oh, boy. Well, that's deep. That is deep. Let's keep going. That the case should be solved. Wait, that it could be solved by anyone. Whoa. You two are looking at one another. What does that look mean? What do you mean? What if the case can't be solved by us or by anyone? I don't understand. Well, you know, I didn't read a lot of it. Before I became a PI, I didn't read a whole lot of mysteries. That's why it took me so long to catch on. Oh, like, what if it can't be solved by anyone but the detective? I don't understand. Okay, what if only the detective has a key piece of information or knowledge that we don't have? You mean like we, the reader? Okay, you're mixing me up with fiction and reality. Okay, looking at it through a fictional lens, reality. Okay, so we're the reader of the book, and we're watching the mystery. And Sherlock Holmes has something that we don't have to solve the case. So we can't solve it, you're saying. Oh, this is how grown-up mysteries work? Kid mysteries can be solved. You're talking about when we read them. Oh, it's a flaw you see in adult mysteries, that they can't be solved. Oh, majority of those, the detective knows things the reader doesn't know. Or understands things that the reader doesn't know. Oh, that the reader can't, so the reader can't solve the mystery, is what you're saying. A key piece, yeah, okay, I get that part. In a kid mystery, though, you're saying, Encyclopedia Brown, if we read it, we could actually solve it. Well, that's strange. I mean, I guess maybe because, So you could normally solve that for yourself. For an adult one, the detective has to solve it for you. Oh, so it's like an aspirational in some sense. Instead of, it makes a difference and it makes an aspire out of you and me. Oh, and the great kid mysteries are hard. So you can solve them. It doesn't mean you do solve them. But they could be solved, and you could go back and see what you missed. Where an adult mystery, you would go back and see what you missed. But it was missing. I think I get you. Red herrings. Yeah, I'm familiar with those. Mr. X. It's for entertainment, right? To confuse you and entertain you. And make you wish you were like the detective. Okay. I've never read Miss Marple. Have either of you? No. I wonder, she doesn't sound like she would be like that. Probably is, though. Okay. Specialized knowledge the detectives have. Could be experience, like I was talking about earlier. Okay, let's go back to what we were talking about. What if our cases can't be solved? That's what triggered this with you. These cases are grown-up cases. Okay, what do you mean? Like they're fictional. Like, okay, so we're saying, what if these cases, this isn't cognitive dissonance, though. You're saying, what if these three cases and this fourth one are like we're reading adult mysteries? Are you saying, is this simulation theory or are you talking about reality? Oh, like we're in a fiction, like they're fictional mysteries. Well, they are lore. Okay, I'm going to take, it sounds like you two have something to think about then, about this current mystery. I got to take a walk to clear my mind. Oh, hey, Diane, it's me. I'm back. Diane, it's been a few minutes since I updated you, but we're knee-deep in this uncase, holy mackerel. We've been making. I've been going around making train whistles, Diane, at night, incorrect ones and inaccurate ones. And we do have some SUSPECTS, Diane. Let's see, where was I? So we're in this, we're working this case in a different way because we don't even know what the case is, or I don't. Also, Diane, a huge advantage, whoever's behind this, we think people are behind this. It's not just chaos theory, but they don't even know I exist. They don't know about me and the Phantom Minnow. But DK and G, they notice a couple other things. Like, so their idea is to annoy these people out of the woodwork, because when they looked back at the other cases, they noticed that every time they were stuck, a certain gentleman in particular seemed to just arrive at times and say, "Oh, what's with the frowny faces?" Kind of, what do you call it? Patronizing them, Diane. And all, well, oh, you can't figure out the, maybe, you know, maybe you should go to mechanic school. You can't figure out why a shopping cart wheel would lock. Kind of pretending to offer help, but more offering, just not subtle, not niceness, Diane. And we started to wonder if these splainers, as we called them, they say, "Oh, you're looking, you're trying to figure out why it doesn't rain. Have you heard of wind shear?" Well, no, that's not what. That's another thing they do, Diane. They say, "Well, that's not what wind shear is." Well, that's not how you figure out. You got to go to the library to do that. Can't figure that out on the internet. Anyway, Diane, I don't want to give them too much explaining time. They'll explain it for themselves in some aggro way. But OG and DK took stuff. They went out and they bought green overalls and chef's hats, and they asked to join as auditing members, all the model railroad clubs. And the railroad club said, you know, obviously said, "Well, are you going to help solve this so we don't lose our charters?" And they would show up and they said, "Well, we're just going to participate for now. And we're working on the case, maybe." And people would say, like, when they showed up to these groups, they were like train conductors from Burning Man, Diane, giant chef hats and green overalls. But they would just ask questions about their trains. They would play with the trains. They would ask more questions. "What's HO mean? Why? What's a gauge again? What's your favorite train? Why a train, you know, oh boy. Or why is this out of scale?" That was one that drove a lot of people. They say, "It is in scale." And they say, "Well, no, this person, the trees aren't the same scale as the trains." That was like, they do that at every club, especially when they think they have a splainer. But mostly the time they spend at the clubs, people fall into four groups, Diane. There's people at the train clubs that just want to be left alone and play with their trains, which those have different styles. You know, some are, "Oh, you know what? I appreciate you have questions, but I'm going to play with my trains right now. Thanks." Maybe someone else will answer, or there's grouchier people, you know, so people who could vocalize their boundaries versus those who couldn't say, "Okay, one more question, then I'm going to get back to playing with my trains." I like to do it in quiet. I think I learned more from those people. I guess those are two groups, though, Diane. The grouchy people who just said, you know, they were just there to play with their trains and not be interrupted, versus people said, "Hey, that's great, but I need, you know, this is a social introversion thing for me to escape. It's what I like to do." Then there was a third group of more extroverted or people that were like, "Oh, this is so great." They got more energy from all the questions. And they kind of saw it as, "Oh, you're interested in this. That's great. I don't mind that your questions are repetitive or that you're wearing a chef's hat and saying it's in a conductor's hat because you're a kid. You're here to have fun." And then the fourth group, not the same splainers as we've, but a lot of them could get frustrated, kind of like I was saying, "Why do you have so many questions? What do you mean? Like, why don't you look that up when you leave here? Almost like pretending to be helpful in a punishment way or something. And why ask a question, you know? But the girls, they stuck to it. And they would just ask more questions. They let it roll off, water off a duck's back, Diane. And this kind of just seemed by attrition to those people would leave because they couldn't correct, you know, when you can't be corrected, when joy, you know, when you're just being joyful, it's tough to you know, for a explainer to explain things to you. Like, it's just like hot air coming out their mouths. But the explainers, they weren't done. They said, well, what about the mysteries? They said, I thought, you know, that would be their last thing. I thought you were going to solve the mystery. Are you just here to play with our trains? Because we're about to lose our thingamajig. The mystery, Diana, maybe I didn't explain it. So people at night have been hearing these train sounds separate from the trains, which are, you know, there's no trains running through the towns. Yeah, only on the outskirts. These train sounds are coming from within the towns. In the middle of the night, in different places. And so, again, at these things, they say, I thought you guys cracked cases. And they would call them girls, which sometimes I mistakenly do that, Diane. It's not proper. They're young adults. Or they're G&DK. So, Diane, I apologize. You know, I'm working on my language, too. You know, and they'd say, I thought you solved the case of the yarn that changes colors. Or, you couldn't figure out that rain one either. But again, G&DK, we stuck to the plan. We also had me making incorrect train noises to see if anyone would try to explain me. No one could find me. That was just a theory. Actually, you'll see, because this is like a mystery, Diane, for grown-ups. But they kept getting, you know, a little bit more and more running out of patience. But here's the great thing, Diane. G&DK, we started having fun. I would ride on the trains as the Phantom Minnow. And I think it helped me become more of the Phantom Minnow. Like, going around at night, I made myself look like a train. I was riding model trains, Diane. I was getting in model trains. I was shrinking down, making G&DK laugh. A lot of times I would be a figure on a train or standing in a train station while a splainer was explaining things, and I would be imitating them, Diane. I know it's petty, but it was fun. You know, saying, that is not a conductor's hat, that's a chef's hat. There's no train conductors that wear green overalls. And she said, she totally owned that. She said, really? In history, there's never been someone that's conducted a train in green overalls. I said, that's strange. And then the person said, well, how? And then she said, DK, what were those green denim sales numbers for 1842? And, you know, they just had fun. But then we also started to say, well, these are friends that love these model trains. They're going to lose. We do have to solve this case now, but it's clearly a setup, Diane. We were stuck. Everybody started demanding, you know, explainers and the friends, even the quiet people said, hey, do you think you could, you know, what's making those train noises? Is there any way you can stop those train noises? Because they keep moving around from neighborhood to neighborhood. So we can't just stake out. And we really want our train clubs. No one would want a broad charter banning model trains, but that's, you know, part of what you agree to as part of your HOA or whatever. Yeah, but then, Diane, you know, things change, and you find out that, yeah, if a mystery can't be solved, maybe by not solving it, And you're like, okay, we're anyway, this is a big meeting because tomorrow's when they lose their charters and they ban model trains. And DK and G are waiting out for, oh, hey, hey, G, hey, DK. Yeah, no, talking to Anne for sure. Aren't we going to go in and the meeting start? Oh, we're going to wait for a little while. Okay, it sounds like everybody's really bent out of shape in there. Really a lot of loud talking. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it has been fun, this train stuff. But yeah, I'm still down about the Phantom Minnow and not figuring out the comic book stuff. Well, it's kind of like you guys said, you know, that you know, I feel like maybe I'm not, that's not who I am, that I don't know how to do it. And I know I've been helpful in this case, like you said, but what are some primary things about it? I don't think it's a primary, I don't have the same thing, easy answer, as you say, core principles. It should be fun. I think that's the core principle for me, and interesting, maybe, sometimes. Yeah, fun riding around on the back of a model train as a, and yeah, that is fun. You're right. Making train sounds that are incorrect, and, you know, like, woo, roo, roo, instead of choo-choo or whatever, woo-woo. Yeah, that's fun, too. So I guess I gotta, I mean, I guess I just gotta figure out, what do you mean? We still don't know who exactly. Yeah, so I could look into that. You mean, isn't that a bit like Highway to Heaven? Well, like figuring out who these splainers are and why they're kind of grouches? Yeah, maybe the Phantom Minnow could do that. I don't know. Or is that like the Sixth Sense or something? I don't know. I could think about it. That is a good idea. But I don't know if that would be fun. That would be the key thing, helping JERKs, especially ones that have been kind of setting you up with cases that weren't solvable. But they seem to, okay, let's go and see. Okay, it's really getting, the meeting's getting, voices are even raised, more raised. Hey, Diane, we're walking in. G's holding up her hand. Everybody's disagreeing with one another. I'm going to tell, okay, Jesus said, I can tell by the look on some of your faces, especially of our train friends, hey, hi, and our fellow train enthusiasts, that this meeting's not going well, but it looks like what naturally came up, you know, I couldn't hear, but I can only assume, I can only infer that during this meeting, certain members kind of said that the trouble with the train whistles corresponded with our arrival here to the towns. Is that true? Yeah, that's what I thought. And that our arrival and the train whistle arrival is going to ruin model trains for everybody. And that it probably is something to do with us. Does it sound like an argument that certain people made? Yeah, I can tell that was said. You know, that's a pretty classic device, like a clock-setting device in mysteries, to involve the detective in some way, especially some sort of rival, to make the detective part of the case. It also, for the reader, helps that there's higher stakes, that now the detective has to solve the case in order to clear their name, or to extricate themselves from some other sort of wave they've been woven into it. And that would work for a mystery, in solving a mystery, or a mystery to be read. But here, the trouble with the train whistles, it's not a mystery. What you have with these train whistles is a secret. And a secret and a mystery are two different things. And at first you might say, you might be confusing, but just think about it for a difference. A mystery is something that needs to be solved. A secret is something that's kept. And in this case, it's a secret club. And some of you may be in it. Some of you may have heard about it. In fact, this club is right in your midst. And I know some of you have suspected it over the years. And this club started as a group members kind of playing pranks on one another, jokes. It actually started on April Fool's Day about 18 years ago, and it developed into a secret club within these model train clubs. Now, most of the people that joined it were males that enjoy pranking people in particular. Personalities, you could say, BU to the L to the L to the Y a little bit. And that club, you know, if you ever had a mystery or something that happened where you felt like a little bit left out, it could have been this club. You may not even know about it. It exists as a secret club with some knowledge of it to be exclusive. And one feature of this club was when a club member would go to the big farm. All the members would have a big party one night at someone's house, and they would whistle. They would all bring train whistles and play the whistles. And then they started doing it, and when someone would go, not just to the big farm, but for a snowbird to return to the north. And then people started to complain about this, and as pranksters, they got a kick out of it. And then when we arrived here and certain members of the club found out about us, they started creating mysteries for us and blowing their train whistles even more to raise the complaint level to where a measure would be passed to deal with it. They started a clock right out of a book. And, you know, they were fine. And I think probably there was some sort of internal mechanics. I don't know if that may have triggered this. I don't know if there's been any leadership differences in these clubs. But now they've used that to basically either end the clubs. So they'll still have their secret club because it doesn't have it doesn't exist, and it doesn't have a charter that can be taken away. And they think they could get away with still playing trains in secret. But that's the struggle. It's not a mystery. It's a secret. But all of you have taught DK and I the joy of trains, and we really appreciate that. And we'd hate to see you lose it. You know, you can all decide how to deal with the secret, you know, and if somebody, you know, I think we'll leave you. We've cracked this secret. And those of you members that are wondering, you know, how do you figure out a secret? You know, well, DK and I are going to keep that secret from you. And we know those other three mysteries, you know, you were by. So good day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. At one of the train clubhouses, hopefully, unless we're out solving an actual mystery. Thanks. Hey, Diane, it's me. I'm so proud of those two. Holy moly. Proud to be associated with them, Diane. And just in case you're wondering, Diane, it was I met someone that had gone to the big farm, but they hadn't made it there yet. And they told us about the secret. It was a matter of annoyance, though. Because at first I was doing those train sounds, and they had been watching. They were a splainer, but they were a post-earth splainer. And they were watching G and DK and saying, "What are you?" But they didn't have anyone to complain to or correct. Till one night they encountered me with my, I was going, "Foo, foo," like that. Oh. Would you, foo, foo, over and over again, Diane. It was so fun. You just say, would you, foo, foo. And that's not how a train sounds. And finally, I heard someone, they said, "That's not how a train sounds." And I said, whom are you? And they told me all about it. I told Jay and DK, and we cracked, we didn't crack, we cracked, yeah, we cracked the case, Diane. So I'll talk to you soon. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the podcast on Apple Podcasts. We from the USA said it's awesome. I'm about 12 years old, and I love these. A lot of times, especially around the holidays, I get real nervous and excited at the same time. It's hard for me to go to sleep. This is what I could use the podcast for. So I've been listening to this for a while, and I always fall asleep in the middle of the show. They really helped me fall asleep. Thank you. Cheeks, 8683. Talented. It's amazing how you could talk nonstop and make complete and total sense. So thank you. Jenny, 2238, from Sweden, says, amazing. I've been turning this podcast every time I can't sleep for years now. Works like a sleeping pill. Z's. Alana G for, says, impressive AF. If I've heard anything beyond the intro, I'm unaware of it. That's how effective it is for me. It feels like I fall asleep within the first 10 minutes. So, to be honest, I'm not really sure how he does it. All I know is it's useful to someone who's a self-created insomniac. 10 out of 10. Awesome, says Angela the Gym Junkie from Australia. 2016, Angela wrote, what a great guy. I stumbled on this recently. Always been a fantastic sleeper. However, my graveyard shifts mean I can no longer sleep normal hours on my day off. Listening to this soothes me when I can't fall asleep. Thank you. 2018, 2 years later, I'm back. We had some stuff on my mind, and I knew exactly who I needed. Thank you so much. Thanks, Angela. Good to see you again. How about AMA Shell? AMA is Shell. AMA is Shell from the U.S. Says, that was 5 stars. I was looking away for to fall asleep and immediately attracted just based on the titles. This was great. Saveza L says, so much gratitude for you, Scoot. Sleep deprived after losing some tough times. Over the last few years, I used to use another app, but going through this process, I really need sleep, and I need a clear-headed way. Came across a show on YouTube, and I thought, whatever, I'd check it out. It can't hurt. Well, what was ever wrong? I've had the best sleep. I didn't make it halfway through, so the next night, same thing. Eventually, I tried to stay awake to listen. Long story short, all of your personality is truly epic. Thank you from the bottom of my broken heart. You can't sleep without you. Thank you. Han M12 also says, can't sleep without it. Ever since I started university, a lot of sleeping troubles, including not being able to sleep or not being able to stay asleep. I've been having that. 30 minutes of the podcast puts me right to sleep with a calm mind. I can sleep better through the night, too. Definitely give it a try if you're having sleep trouble. JKA says, works like a charm. Really have trouble. Wonder if that's the Jake. Had trouble falling asleep, venturing down the lengthy things might help pathway, and discovered this. I don't know what it is, but the combination of not being able to determine the separation of his words and almost the monotone nature of his voice lures me right to sleep. I usually make it through the ads before I'm passed out. My husband listened to it the first time, and he passed out super fast, too. Love it. My best new bedtime companion. And Susan herself says, supremely superific. I thought I'd wait a little bit before you're reviewing the podcast to be certain how I felt about it, because it's not what you'd call mainstream. It's funny. I've been listening for a couple of years now, so I feel okay expressing an opinion, which is this. If there was a 5++++ star rating, that's what I'd give this podcast. Often I drift off during the intro segment and never even get to hear the story, but when I do, especially the ones in which a Scooter puts on the persona of his neighbor Ray or Nuns in Space with Stan the Freestyle Soda Machine, strange, right? It's hard to explain the appeal. Another review somewhere, maybe not here, compared the experience to when you were a child, put to bed that night, drifting off to sleep, hearing the grown-ups talking in the living room. Yeah, that's one way I like to describe it, too. So, love Scoot's creaky dulcet tones. Yeah, so that's it. Thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or in whatever podcast app you use. That's one of the main ways that people find out about the show is word of mouth. So I really appreciate all you sharing your honest experiences with the show. With other people. They're really great. Help other people fall asleep. Also, Sleep With Me exists because of listener support on Patreon and the listeners who directly support our sponsors. So I want to thank them because without them, there wouldn't be this version of Sleep With Me. So thank you. I also want to thank everybody at Night Vale Presents and PRX. So remember both of those. Night Vale Presents, you can check out all their amazing shows at nightvalepresents.com. And you can see everything PRX is doing at PRX.org. Thanks so much. And there's plenty of other episodes ready to go for you. So, yeah, settle in. I'm here. I'm right here. And I'll be here show after show to try to help. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Luxe. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Luxe because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.